This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. All right, third and final hour. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. As we
Good
come
morning,
to you live
gentlemen.
From the Quicken Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. Focus.
I'm not in on a joke.
With you, not on the air. It's an off the air joke.
I'm not going to be in with the cool kids.
After. No, I'll let you.
Yeah, you guys let me know.
It was too late before I could tell you the joke. Anyway, I don't know if it's a joke or
I'd like to be in on it. I like that. I'm looking forward to this.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I don't know if you'll.
Oh, boy. I don't like the sound of this.
I can't get in your head.
No, don't say it. No, let's get to it. The three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Broncos trade for Joe Flacco.
Yes, they do. Deal will become official March 13th. Why is that day significant? Because that's the first day of the new NFL league year. So that's when you start to see bonuses, you know, 1, 2, 3 days after the new league year. With some of these veteran players becoming a so it's basically when the business of the 2019 football season can get going. So, but the deal has been agreed to in principle. In essence, Flacco is a Bronco. He's a former Baltimore Raven. The Broncos are sending the Baltimore Ravens a fourth-round draft choice in the upcoming 2019 NFL draft, Taz, in late April. And you and I discussed it pretty in-depth a little bit earlier on in the program. Check out the podcastradio.com and Apple Podcasts. I like the move. I do from a Denver perspective. I think they clearly had soured on Keenum after a year. They're going to try and find him a new home, even though he's guaranteed $7 million upcoming 2019 season. I have a hard time envisioning him being the backup with the Denver Broncos. I don't know where he does land. Certainly, he'd be a pretty good backup for another organization.
Yeah,
or maybe
absolutely.
He puts himself in another position to compete for a starting job with another NFL team. But I think Flacco's got more game left than a lot of people probably do. And I think for a bridge quarterback, a guy that's won, you look at it, when he started 16 games, he's only had one losing season as an NFL starting quarterback. To me, that says a little bit of something as well. Former Super Bowl champion, MVP. There's things that Flacco's accomplished. Plus, he's shown himself to be a big game quarterback, too. I like the move from a Denver perspective, and from the Ravens, it's clearly Lamar Jackson's team, and they needed to get rid of what was a distraction in Flacco.
Yeah, and you know, I get what everything you're saying, a lot of really good points, and you and I are on different sides of the fence on this one. Yeah, I don't like the move that the Broncos did here. I think, in my opinion, if you're a Bronco fan, I don't think you're exactly happy about it. I don't think it's a move that kind of, like I said earlier, I felt like John Elway doing this, and I feel like it's a little bit archaic. I feel like it's like you're looking for the big arm, big 6'6", 6'5" quarterback, cup protection, lack of mobility type of guy. And I feel like, as you know, because we discussed earlier, like in this day and age of more quarterbacks that can not just run, but quarterbacks that are mobile out of the pocket for the throw, meaning to move out of the pocket when the pocket moves and the pressure's coming to the left, from the left or whatever, you can move the opposite way and move and throw and peek at the same time. Not saying you got to be as good as Pat Mahomes, but you got to be able to do it. And guys like Pat Mahomes, guys like Baker Mayfield, these type quarterbacks that are mobile but yet can throw it are the guys. Now, obviously, you know, Lamar Jackson's very mobile, but and we both agree on this, where he's got to change his game a little bit because he's taking too many shots and he's got to work on his throwing, you know. So, the thing is, I feel like the Broncos, they're in a position where, look, they finished the 24th scoring last season under Keenum, okay? And they had a different head coach, okay? So, and he was fired at the end of the year, right, and all this stuff. So now they got Vic Fangio coming in there. It's a new quarterback, a guy who has a history with the Ravens, with Flacco. You would think that if you're going to stereotype the type of quarterbacks that John Elway likes, it would be a Flacco type. I kind of feel like it's John Elway kind of trying to recreate what happened with Peyton Manning when he came from the Colts to Denver. That's why I don't like the whole feel of it. And I know I'm long-winded here. And the other thing, too, is that as far as the draft goes, you have the number 10th pick if you're the Broncos. And like you said earlier, Mason, you're dead on correct. They could still go quarterback. And a lot of folks, including me, think they're going to go Drew Lock, the quarterback from Missouri, who's a big 6'3", 6'4" kid. And then maybe he can learn under a Flacco type thing. You know, maybe. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. But they do need help on that offensive line. They need help at cornerback. They need a lot of help. The Broncos need a lot of help. So, I didn't think yesterday when we got done doing our show, none of us knew this was going to happen. I didn't think we'd be talking about the Broncos today. I'll tell you that. I didn't think we'd be talking about Joe Flacco today.
No, right. Neither did I. I mean, I still think there's always going to be a place in the NFL for a pocket passing quarterback and a downfield thrower, something that Keenum struggled with last year for the Broncos. Something that's really, really important in today's day and age in the National Football League to be able to stretch a defense, and Flacco certainly can do that. I know there's health concerns coming off the hip injury, and clearly the Ravens soured on Flacco pretty quickly. And statistically speaking, I know you can look at Keenum and Flacco and say that they're very comparable. Well, I mean, not in big games, and certainly stats can tell you some of the story. They don't exactly tell you the whole story as well in terms of when stats were put up. Were they margin games? Are you putting up passing stats late in games when it's a blowout game? Listen, there's issues in Denver, much more than just the quarterback spot. That's why they have the 10th overall pick in the upcoming April NFL draft. You know, whether it be, they have to add still a young quarterback to back up Flacco, to learn under Flacco. They need a corner. They need offensive line help. They certainly have got edge rushers, maybe some playmakers out on the outside, even though I do like Sutton, the young wide receiver. And they've got playmakers at the running back spot led by Lindsey, who was an undrafted rookie last year coming out of Colorado, who starred for the Denver Broncos. So I like the deal. I like the gamble as being a pure bridge guy to get this Bronco team back to relevancy. And for John Elway, the concern I would have, Taz, ultimately, is not necessarily this trade, because it's a fourth-round draft choice, is his evaluation at the quarterback spot with the young signal caller on the whole. I mean, he did bring Peyton Manning in. That worked, right? They won a Super Bowl with Manning. They went to, right. They went to two of them, and they won one of them. That's fantastic. Yeah. However, yeah. Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, they traded up to the 26th overall pick to draft Paxton Lynch. He's had an issue here finding that next guy for the Broncos, signing Keenum to a 2-year, $14 million deal, all guaranteed, coming off the year that he had a year ago with the Minnesota Vikings, leading them to the NFC Championship game. So I would have a concern about Elway evaluating the young position, the young quarterback, and how it translates and how that player's talents can translate to the NFL. Because overall, Flacco's just a short-term, they hope, fix. It's not a long-term solution. They've still got to find that long-term solution, Taz. And I don't know if Elway and his staff are capable of finding that guy.
I don't think they are. I think that John Elway, just my thoughts and opinions, and, I feel he's a little bit, stuck in the mud, a little bit archaic thinking. So.
Yeah, here is Brandon Stokely yesterday was a guest, former wide receiver, we know that, teammate, former, player out there in Denver, Baltimore as well, teammate of Flacco. Let's hear from Brandon Stokely, reaction of the trade of Flacco to the Broncos.
I think it's split. I really do. Some love it, some don't like it. When you look at Joe Flacco, is it an upgrade over what we had last year? And I think the answer has to be, the answer is yes, it is an upgrade over Case Keenum. And a lot of fans, they're very wary and nervous of John Elway drafting another quarterback. He drafted Brock Osweiler in the second round. That didn't work out. Then he went big and went in the first round and drafted Paxton Lynch, and that was an absolute flop. And so they're really scared about John Elway selecting the quarterback, especially if it was going to be in the first round. So this gives those fans a little degree of, okay, we got an upgrade, and we're going to compete this year. We're not going to have to go through a year of a young rookie quarterback. And so there is, you know, the optimism there that it could be a quick turnaround here in Denver if they add some other pieces throughout the draft, which they had a great draft last year, and they get in free agency and make some nice acquisitions there. This thing could turn around quick.
You know, it must really got to suck if you're a Broncos fan and, you know, if you're worried, if you feel like, you know, John Elway doesn't know how to utilize the draft or have the eye, to the point you just made before we dropped went to that sound, the eye to pull in a good young QB because of the history with Oswald, with Paxton Lynch and all that jazz. You know, that's got to stink if you're a fan.
Yeah.
That's really got to think about that. That really has to stink. That, to me, that shows that maybe the organization's not being headed up by the right guy. Just because the guy was a great, great – I watched Elway play. He was an amazing player, as you know. He was just great. Great, great quarterback, great football player, legendary man, no doubt. That doesn't mean that he knows how to, just because he was a great quarterback, doesn't mean that he knows how to get the right quarterback to head up his team. Now,
No. Yeah,
he did it with Manning, as we know, but that doesn't mean, look, Manning, you and I could have picked Manning and he would have did great, especially during that time.
Yeah, the one I'll give credit for Elway is that the Broncos went into that Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium, first outdoor cold weather Super Bowl, got annihilated by the Seattle Seahawks, hopped on his jet, headed back to Denver after that game, Taz, and came to the realization that the defense needs to improve and attacked that offseason to improve that defense and get it to a championship level, and it worked. Ultimately, they ended up winning a Super Bowl where Manning could barely throw the football, and it was based on that defense. But, yes, the quarterback evaluation, you know, is a massive concern. And Bronco fans, as you and I have talked about, as Stokely mentioned yesterday on CBS Sports Radio, you've got to have serious reservations of whether Elway can actually target and find that guy.
And one more thing. Elway's got to be careful. Maybe it's a situation where Elway's trying to find the next Elway. Okay, and that's not what you want to do. You don't want to do that. You want to find the next guy. That's who that guy is.
Correct. I'd agree with that. All right, next.
Number two.
Reportedly, Broncos will shop Case Keenum.
Yeah, so we'll see if thank you, Zach. We'll see where Keenum does end up. I mean, he's not going to be in Denver, Taz. I don't look at, if I'm one of these teams looking for a quarterback, if I'm Jacksonville, I'm sorry. I'm not looking at Case Keenum as being my solution at the quarterback spot. Case Keenum, I think, and the Denver Broncos have got to wait and see how the Nick Foles scenario does play out first.
Right.
Before maybe there's any kind of market for Case Keenum.
Yeah, man. And, you know, if the Broncos were to keep him, which is probably not going to happen to the point you're making, I mean, between Flacco and Keenum, it'd be like something like north of $39 million, I was reading. Right, for Denver's cap space. Dude, that's not gonna, you know, not gonna. To have this guy back up when he was starting Keenum, he's gonna be miserable there.
Yeah.
Miserable.
He's not gonna be there.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's very unlikely.
They're gonna shop him, Taz, but I know you're a bigger fan of Keenum than I am.
Well, I was last year.
Yeah, right. Vikings. After the Vikings.
He played great.
He played poorly this year in Denver.
He did.
I don't know if I would kick the tires on Bridgewater. I'd kick the tires on Nick Foles before I looked at Case Keenum as maybe being my starter in 2019.
You know, and I'm sure you've thought of this already, but he could end up a Giant because of the Pat Shurmur connection with the Vikings.
Good.
You know,
yeah.
He worked well under. I'm looking at Mikey B, the big Giant fan. He's like, oh no, please,
yeah,
no.
It did. It did work.
You don't like that, Mike? No.
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 All right. There you go. We'll see where Keenum does end up.
Number three.
Steve Kerr slams whiteboard, gets ejected.
Yeah, how about the Golden State Warriors last night against Portland getting outscored by 23 in the fourth quarter?
Wow.
I mean, that is, and Kerr had to be held back. I mean, it's a regular season loss. It doesn't change what you feel or thoughts about Golden State. They are the team to beat. We're going to talk to Tracy Murray a little later on this hour about the dominance of the Warriors and how it's them and everybody else in the association, Taz, but I mean, that's a pretty special quarter for the Portland Trailblazers to outscore Golden State by 23.
Yeah, very, very, very impressive. And look, you know, Kerr's a ultra-competitive guy, you know, and So, you know, he got emotional. You know what I mean? Like, he got emotional. I mean, and I like that. I mean, we've seen some of the great coaches that we just saw. Bill Belichick, he has a habit of slamming tablets and computers on the sideline.
Yeah.
Which is on a regular basis. We see it all the time.
And you saw Kerr slam the dry erase board, the whiteboard. Here he is talking about the flagrant foul.
I was just shocked that was called a flagrant foul. And I'm not sure how it's determined. I don't remember if it's determined in New York or if it's the officials on the floor. But that's...
How's the head coach not
know that? Head-scratching that could be called a flagrant foul. I mean, the guy's going to go in for a dunk. You got to make sure he doesn't dunk it. So I told Kenny that I beg to differ.
With the clipboard spike.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
There might have been a couple of other words in there, too.
Yeah, you could tell it seems like he just snapped or he's about to snap.
Well, right.
Yeah, they somehow snap again. You know, that's a sign. No, but look, like we said.
It's not originally called a flagrant foul. Then they reviewed it, called a flagrant foul, and that led to the Kerr ejection.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, definitely for them, for the Warriors to lose to Portland, 129-107 is interesting. But, you know, look, we've seen some great coaches snap. Like I said, Belichick snaps a lot. He stays calm, then he snaps. I like it.
Yeah, I think it grabs a headline. I don't mind it anyway, shape, or form.
Fire.
Right, there is. Ultimately, in the regular season, you know, for Golden State, it does not mean all that much.
Oh, they're 41-16. They really care.
So they lose a game. Good win. Good night to be a Blazer fan. Tough loss for Golden State. And Kerr let off a little bit of emotion. We got the undercard coming your way next. Tracy Murray is also going to join us a little later on this hour. It's Taz and the Moose on a Valentine's Day Thursday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
We got the undercard coming your way straight ahead. Bogus is in the house. Final time this morning on our program. What's up, Andrew?
Moose, Taz, Steve Kerr didn't see the end of the Warriors' final game before the All-Star break. Tossed in the fourth quarter in Portland after refs used review to upgrade a foul on Draymond Green to a flagrant.
I've watched Steve Kerr for a lot of years as a player and a coach. I'm not sure I've ever seen him this upset. That grease board has seen better days.
Brian Wheeler on Blazers Radio. Kerr's outburst began with him slamming his whiteboard on the scores table. He was asked to explain the ref's decision postgame.
I was too busy yelling to ask for an explanation.
Fair enough. The Warriors lost the game as well, 129-107, 29 points for Damian Lillard. Now, you guys might have noticed that Mikey B, not his usual sharp self this morning. You can blame Damari Carroll.
Carroll steps back, shoots a three. Good! He ties the game at the horn and will go to a third overtime in Cleveland.
Chris Carino, Nets Radio, Brooklyn, finally won in Cleveland in triple overtime, 148-139, and Mikey B saw every last second.
So did I.
Did you go to bed right away, or did you watch the post-game show like Mikey B also did?
I watched it in my heart-shaped bed. For Valentine's Day, I have a king-size
hot shape. Champagne glass hot tub?
Yeah. It's like the
Mount Airy Lodge?
And then Mount Airy Lodge, and I laid there, and I watched Carol sink that three. I watched it in bed. That's what I do. And I had red sheets, red satin pillowcases, mousse, everything.
You're getting me going here, Taz.
Whoa.
Stop it.
Hey, easy.
Sexy
easy,
Jones.
Easy.
Oh, Nets and heart-shaped beds. It's my life. Let's go. Being honest.
Easy, easy.
What a cutie.
The Knicks losing streak is 18 after a 126-111 home loss to the Sixers. The Suns get a mere 15 after a 134-107 loss to the Clippers in L.A. James Harden scored 42. That's 31 straight with at least 30 points. But the T-Wolves beat his Rockets 121-111. The Celtics cooled off the Pistons 118-110. And the Bucks rallied from 10 down in the fourth to win in Indy 106-97. Giannis with 33 points, 19 rebounds, and 11 assists. The NFL has reportedly uninvited Louisiana Tech pass rusher Jalen Ferguson to the combine next month. A background check revealed that Ferguson was convicted of simple battery after a fight at a McDonald's when he was a freshman. The Philadelphia Phillies avoiding arbitration with righty Aaron Nola yesterday, 4 years and $45 million. Then they revealed that Jake Arrieta had knee surgery recently. He should be ready for opening day or shortly thereafter. Checking on college hoops, number one, Tennessee held off South Carolina, 85-73. Number 13, Villanova beat Providence, 85-67. And number 17, FSU handled Wake Forest, 88-66. And a quick hockey score, the Penguins beat the Oilers 3-1 for a three-point lead on Carolina for the second and final wild card spot in the East. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. Let's get to it, the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Michael.
All right, Vikings star quarterback Kirk Cousins went to Twitter and put this poll up. The season feels so far away, so I want to do a giveaway to keep all you at Viking fans excited. What do you want me to give away? He had four options: a signed jersey, signed football, signed mini helmet.
His contract.
And where he made a huge mistake was he also put other, and people on Twitter had fun with that. One was your contract. What about a signed resignation? Give away some money back to the Vikes, please. Give yourself away to another team. Some of that cap space. Half of your guaranteed contracts that you're, so that the team can sign a quality tackle to protect you. And so on and so on.
So the Viking fans, they like him.
Yeah. Any lessons for Kirk and Twitter?
Yeah, I have a lesson for him. Shut up. Just stay away from social media and don't do anything until you're flourishing.
You should not have put other.
Shouldn't have done anything. Just be quiet.
Trying to be interactive on social media.
He shouldn't. He's not liked. You know that.
Well, I get it. I feel, you know, but once you open up the avenue to others, then people are going to, you know, kick the door down.
Bro, people are going to rip them anyway.
If you were like, hey, I want to give away, you know, 10 signed jerseys, he'll make friends quick. People like free stuff.
I know. Trust me.
They do. Sign, you know.
I work with guys that love free stuff.
Yes. Well, people do like free stuff. You're right.
I know.
Well, no, but this is him actually asking people if they want it.
I know. Well, that's the thing. He's desperate. He's looking for attention, and they put other.
That's the problem. But if he just did something like, hey, listen, next 10 Viking fans that respond, I'm going to send you an autographed Kirk Cousins jersey.
They hate him.
People will be like, oh, my God, I love you, Kirk. You're the best. It wasn't your fault this year. Zimmer's lost.
Yeah, he's not. He's not.
That's
there.
What you got to do. Loved. You don't open up to don't do a dopey poll and open up and then throw in the avenue of other.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking for the negativity to feed off of that, because people like to do that, too.
No, on social media, negativity? Come on. No, at one point in this show here, before we wrap, we do have to do our poll update.
Yeah, we'll do it at the end of this undercard, right?
Moose, you're the quarterback. I'm just the fullback in the corner. I mind my business. Whatever you want to do, brother.
No, we're going to get to that. Next.
Golfer Matt Kuchar. He won a tournament and won $1.296 million. Now, he had a fill-in caddy, and he gave that caddy a small tip of $5,000. Now, Matt's defending the amount while being criticized because $5,000 out of $1.296 million isn't that much. Should he have tipped a little higher?
Now, let's provide a little clarity here. So,
please.
It was a fill-in caddy, right? So, they had agreed to a price of $3,000. Usually, if you finish in the top 10, you obviously get a tip upon that as well, right? And then, if you win a tournament, the usual for a guy that's your usual caddy, usually you're given 10% of the winner's share. So, if, say, you win $600,000, you're giving your caddy $60,000. You win a tournament that's $1.2 million, you're giving your caddy $120,000.
Right.
It's usually around 10% of what you give the caddy. Now,
they can make coin these days.
Now, yeah, they do, right. Yeah. So if you are locked into one of the, you know, if you're Tiger Woods, I mean, Steve Williams during his heyday, when Tiger Woods was winning, I mean, Steve Williams is a multimillionaire, I would imagine, after with all the tournaments that Tiger won. Now, Tiger's not a great tipper, historically speaking, as well.
Horrible to have that rep?
But he is. True. That's true.
Cheap-ass city.
Ask the Marines out in San Diego. Now,
that's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Now Kuchar
said...
Kuchar said that he offered the fill-in caddy $15,000 after, and the caddy said, thanks, but no thanks. I don't know. If that's a true story, I don't know.
Wow.
On top of the $5,000 that he gave him already, So it would have been $20,000. Now, that's still significantly less. You got to remember, he won $1.2 million. So, I mean, I don't care what the agreed upon price is, and that you said you're going to give him $3,000, you end up giving him $5,000, Taz. You win a tournament for $1.2 million, at least give the guy 5%.
Yeah, you got
give the guy $60,000.
No, you're right.
Don't give the guy $5,000.
No, that's not right.
That's insulting. He helped you win the tournament.
Right, right.
He helped you work your way through 4 days to help you be victorious. You just won $1.2 million. Matt Kuchar's a multimillionaire. Even though he's never won a major, he can't give the guy $5,000.
When you were younger, in college, did you ever caddy?
I caddied in high school, not in college.
You know why? I figured you as a young man that would caddy make
a little
bucks.
Bit.
I picture you doing that.
A little bit.
Okay.
In high school, you don't caddy in college. I mean, you can be a professional caddy, but I did not caddy in college.
You can't caddy in the summertime, you know, internship when you're in college.
No, I was doing internships for
radio
stations. What I'm doing right now.
Wow, that's
MTV. I interned.
Wow, did you?
Mark Malusis.
I didn't know that.
Yes, MTV.
I hosted a show on MTV.
Right, WABC locally
maybe
in
we'll
New York.
Talk about that some other time.
I was trying to finish where
resume?
I interned.
Yeah, good. Tell me where else.
No, that's all.
I want to know.
No, that's all.
Come on, tell me.
No, you had a show on MTV.
I had a couple, actually. But no, listen, no. So I didn't know you interned on MTV. I'm saying the caddy thing. I picture you. You're a golf course type guy. I could picture that. Like, I could picture when you were younger. I could picture that.
Yeah, no, I played golf when I was growing up. It's a great game.
You still play now a little bit?
I have clubs. I play when clubs. I can.
And I haven't gone in a while. We should golf one day. I'm actually pretty good because I got long arms, you know, so even though I'm not tall, I'm a good golfer. Right?
Okay.
Drive the S out of the ball.
What do you usually shoot?
Low.
What is that?
I don't want to brag. It's down. Down, baby.
No, what do you shoot? Par 72. What do you shoot?
I don't know. In a low range.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't golfed in a while, Moose. Yeah, you hit me with...
No,
what, you're
on average.
Me
on
low,
average.
I'm low. 25, 30.
That's not low. That means you're shooting a 102.
No.
That's not low.
We've talked about my real skill with the golf game is the mini golf. We don't have to get into that again. I know you don't want to, but...
Well, mini golf's an activity.
It is, but I'm...
And you can play it when you're drunk.
Well, yeah, but I play sober against drunk guys, and I do great.
Yes.
That's my trick.
That's great.
So, it's like bounces. Bounces beat ass on people in bars because the bounce is sober and the guy's drunk. So it's easy to beat up that guy.
Right.
I've done that too.
Well, I understand. Well, we don't have to go through your resume now.
Well, we went through yours. MTV,
I mentioned two things.
ABC.
I mentioned two things.
All right. So anyway, so that's a deal. So I was just wondering if you've caddied much. That's all. All right, next.
Did that just happen?
It did. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Milwaukee Bucks star, was drafted 15th overall in the 2013 draft. In that draft, 29 out of 30 franchises took a look at the Greek Freak.
Except one.
Except one. The New York
Knicks. Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go. That's why the Knicks are the Knicks.
Well, that's the problem. And that's why I'm a 76er fan. That's the key right there. And that's why basketball will drive you crazy. The Knicks will drive you crazy. But we'll see what happens in the summer. They got a lot going on. Want to do the poll here?
Well, no, I was going to comment on Giannis.
But done.
Okay, no, I wasn't.
You had a comment?
No,
yeah, bro.
Yes.
The platform's yours. And begin.
Okay, bro.
I'll shut my mic. I'll be over here, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate it. No, it's not all that surprising. Anyway, next.
I can't believe they just did that. Wow.
Well done. Well done. You got me.
Matt Harvey said one of his goals for 2019, be a better teammate.
There you go.
Wow. What a
small
goal.
Steps.
Yeah.
Good goal.
Very small steps.
Small steps.
Be a better team.
Be a better pitcher, too.
Yeah, that would help.
Very nice.
Yeah, that would definitely help.
Right, a little come-to-Jesus moment for Matt Harvey. All right, anything else, Mike?
Want to do the poll?
Let's do the poll.
Social media update, Moose. Taz and the Moose, at Taz and Moose on Twitter. Did the Broncos make the right move trading for Joe Flacco? This surprised me, folks, and Moose. 40% said yes, oh yeah. 60% said no. You crazy? So there you go. So basically, 60% only, in my opinion, 60% said no. It wasn't the right move. I thought it would be a bigger margin. So I think more people are leaning towards your thought process, Moose, that it was a good move for the Broncos. 60-40 Jones we got here.
Well,
but
I
the
mean,
voting's 60, still
40
open.
Your way. So, I mean, that's
it's not
fine.
A lot, though. I thought it was going to be like 80-20.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. It's fine. I mean, proof is going to be what they do on the football field. And I get people being down on Joe Flacco. It's not exactly like he's played particularly well past couple of years at the quarterback spot for for the Baltimore Ravens. So I get it. Yeah. I get it.
But like we were saying, like if he was hypothetically, if he was still in Baltimore, and once they go into the summer, you know, as you know, and we said this earlier, there wouldn't have been a quarterback controversy, but it was time for him to move on from Baltimore. And they, Lamar Jackson is obviously their guy, and they're going to evolve with him. But I, not that I'm saying Flacco wouldn't end up someplace. I'm just surprised that this happened, as swift it happened. And if you go on the Broncos website, I know it's not officially, they can't announce or comment, but yet, I guess there's some loophole or whatever, because it's all over their website. I mean, there's pictures of Flacco, there's the news point on that, everything. There's everything about it.
Well, it's still, all there, but
it's all there, right.
Can't be officially introduced until mid-March, March the 13th.
Must be some kind of thing, Moose, like where they could post it on their site, I guess. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I didn't look at the Broncos site, but they're probably, yes, they're
I've been on
it
yesterday all day. Check it out.
Very nice. Yeah. Tracy Murray is going to join us next. We'll talk a little NBA with the former UCLA Bruins star, former NBA player as well. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose. On a Thursday morning, happy Valentine's Day, one and all. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here, a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. Let's head to the phones. Let's guest line. Let's welcome aboard right now Tracy Murray, former star at UCLA, a longtime NBA player as well, a sleek shooting forward. Hey, Tracy, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for the couple minutes this morning. We appreciate it.
Tracy, what's up, man?
What's up? What's up? Thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah, you got it, Tracy. There's a lot to get into. Let's start here with the program that you start at. What's going on with UCLA basketball right now?
Oh man, what's not wrong with it right now? I don't think the kids are mature enough to deal with a coaching change in the middle of the season. I mean, up and down the whole conference, not just UCLA. This is extremely young talent in the conference. There's no senior leadership on any team. And those that happen to have a little bit of underclassmen are the ones that are at the top of the conference, like Washington. And Oregon State has experience, and that's why they're at the top of the conference, right behind Washington. So it's a big cluster in the middle because guys don't know how to win on the road, and not winning on the road is nothing but lacking experience.
So, Tracy, let me ask you, just shifting gears to the NBA, to the Lakers. I'm going to ask you, man, Luke Walton, head coach of the Lakers next season or what? What do you think? Right at it, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know, man. The thing about it is, Luke is stuck in a hard situation.
Right. Yep.
You're coaching the best man on the planet, the best player on the planet, that happened to be the number one pick in your draft when you were drafted.
Right.
You
were playing. So, right.
Yeah. So do you think LeBron is going to listen to Luke? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. So you think he's going to be gone? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like next year, Gonski.
Me personally, I think he might be gone.
Right.
Do I want him gone? I don't like to see anybody get fired.
Yeah,
but,
same here.
You know, but you know, the seat is really hot over there, and his butt is on fire, man. And I hate to see that for anybody.
Sure.
Yeah, but Tracy and I know fair has got nothing to do with it. It's not right. I mean, honestly, it just isn't. I mean, the way that this season has unfolded, I mean, you know, Luke Walton's a good young coach, and it always seems to be the case where when things are not going well, especially when LeBron's a part of the team, and no one's denying his talent, it always seems to be a case of it's somebody else's fault. Well, it's the coach. I got to get the right coach in here, or it's this, or it's that. You know, LeBron was brought in there to help develop some of these younger players, Tracy. It just ain't working.
Well, I mean, at the same time, you know, when you think of coaches. Great coaches have great players. Phil Jackson had Mike and Scotty and Dennis, or Mike, Scotty, and Horace Grant. He always had three great players. He had, with the Lakers, he had Shaq, Kobe, and, you know, Robert Horry hitting big shots, or Shaq, Kobe, and Derek Fisher hitting big shots. It's like he's always had a big three.
Right.
He doesn't. Luke doesn't have that. He has LeBron.
Right.
And they're trying to work on that second major player. That's why they had that max spot open, and they were trying so desperately to get Anthony Davis because, honestly, there's two players who are complementary to LeBron, and that's Klay Thompson and that's Anthony Davis. They can play off the ball. They don't need to pound the air out the ball.
Right.
Everybody else that are free agents need to dribble the basketball, and that's why they're not complementary to LeBron.
Yeah, it's great to get that breakdown from you right there, Tracy. Appreciate talking to Tracy Murray right now. 12-year NBA veteran, UCLA men's basketball radio analyst, 50-point scorer, my man, doing it big. So what about, speaking of the other guy who was the man, Magic Johnson, right? You think Magic thought this would have been easier or what? It's been a little bit of a struggle, you know?
Right. You know what, especially with him having success with the Dodgers, having success with the Sparks, having success, you know, with everything that he's done business-wise, I'm pretty sure basketball, you know, walking, oh, man, I know how to do this.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that he thought it would be a little bit easier. But, you know, there's a challenge in everything, even stuff that you know very well, you know, because the game, is as much as it's the same, has changed a lot. So you have to find the right personnel, the right pieces to fit in this three-point-driven NBA now. So it's a little bit more difficult, but he'll figure it out, man. He's a basketball mind. He'll figure it out.
Tracy, you mentioned in terms of, and you know, we heard you know, Kevin Durant criticize, you know, being a teammate of LeBron James or stars maybe being unwilling to do so. You know, earlier on in the regular season, do you think it'd be if you were a superstar? What about playing second fiddle to LeBron? Something that would interest you or no?
If it was me, I can play with him.
No, you. Because... But if you're a Durant, if you're a Kawhi Leonard, today, if you look at the stars
today's
down,
world, yeah.
Right, today's world, guys that are going to be free agents, would that, if you were one of those guys, would that interest you, be going to Los Angeles and playing second fiddle with LeBron?
Well, you have to look at your game, you know, and you say Kawhi and you say Durant. Those guys are creators. Those guys have to have the ball in their hands,
okay,
to dribble and create. And that's why they're not really complimentary to LeBron. So if it was me and I was them, no, that wouldn't interest me because I would have to sacrifice so much of my game to play with him. But if I was Klay Thompson or Anthony Davis, yes, because they don't need the ball in their hands.
Gotcha.
Like that. They run off. Klay runs off of screens or spot up and have the green light to shoot a lot and really knock shots down on a catch-and-shoot basis or maybe a couple escape dribbles. Anthony Davis is a big who can pick and pop or pick and roll or get his off the boards or throw it into him and let him post, and he can play off of LeBron. Those are only two I really see, man.
Speaking of LeBron, Tracy, let me ask you, man, because Moose and I talk about a lot here on the show, just trying to get a vibe. We get people call sometimes. Some people are yay or nay, but this is what I want to ask you. This is what I'm talking about. Like, you feel like fans, NBA fans, you feel like as an overview, they've kind of turned on LeBron, like kind of turned heel on him, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? What do you think?
I think they turned heel on him after the decision.
Yeah.
And after that, it's been LeBron now, LeBron this and LeBron
right,
that.
Right, right.
And he was a kid when he made that decision. And you know how fans are, man. If you make one bad decision or do one bad thing, they're on you for the rest of your life. And it's unfair because he made that decision when he was a kid and left Cleveland high and dry with nothing to replace him when he was gone. And I'm pretty sure he said it. You know, if he had to do that all over again, he wouldn't do it because it wasn't a good business move to help Cleveland out as he left. That's why he felt so bad. That's why he came back and got Cleveland a championship, is because I did my home dirty. So he came back, got that championship, kind of rewritten the wrong, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that was admirable.
We're talking to Tracy Murray, a former star at UCLA, 12-year NBA vet, part of the Bruins broadcast now. Tracy, what about Durant here? You know, the Knicks fan is running around this city like their head's on fire because of the thought after the Porzingis deal and seeing all the reports coming out west that those around Durant feel like he might want to go to New York and take on that challenge. Curious what your take on that is. Do you think Durant really is intrigued about maybe signing via free agency with the Knicks?
I don't know. It depends on if he wants to shoulder the load again. And, you know, as you get older, I think he's enjoying life other than the off-the-court spat. I think on the court he's enjoying life with guys that can play around him, and he doesn't have that extra pressure on top of his shoulders to carry a load with a bunch of guys that really don't know how to play, that's trying to develop right now. So I really don't know. It just depends on if he wants to go back to a situation before Westbrook, you know, where he's shouldering the load night in, night out. And that's tough on your body as you get older.
It really is. Now, for Golden State, Tracy, you know, they figured things out. They put some egos aside. I know they're coming off a tough loss last night against the Portland Trailblazers, but do you look at it as being the Warriors and everybody else in the NBA?
Yeah, I always thought it was, even with the problems earlier. They're veterans. You know, at the end of the day, they're going to put that aside. I've been on plenty of teams in my life where everybody didn't like each other, and you still put it aside and you won.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure, Taz, I'm pretty sure you've been in the ring with people you didn't like, but you be professional, you protect each other.
Most of the time, yeah. You didn't, that's true, you're right.
Yeah, true. Exactly. You know, that's just professional sports, man. And, you know, you put it aside and you go get the job done.
Yeah. And so let me ask you, Tracy, you know, already, obviously the big buzz on the kid out of Duke, Zion Williamson, you know, he's unbelievable. How do you think he's going to translate, man, at the next level?
It's going to be interesting because Zion is my size. He's 6'7". So he's really a small forward or Klay Thompson's height. He's a small forward, two-guard height, but with Charles Barkley build and incredible athleticism. So to me, the best comparison I can make with him is a more athletic Julius Randle. Left-handed, strong body, can handle the ball, pound you and bang you and get buckets towards the rim. But the difference between him and Julius Randle, I mean, he will go through you and dunk on you. He's explosive.
Right.
Both of them need work on their jump shots. So that's what you're looking at. So if he's a worker and you think that he can improve his jump shot at any point, then I would say, you know, go for it and work with him because, you know, you're sure he's going to put in the work. But if he's one of those guys that stay on his cell phone in the locker room and you have to drag him out of the locker room, then that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, Trace, we got a couple minutes left to play with. If we head east and look at that conference, right now, if I ask Tracy Murray which team do you think you would put, you'd make your selection to get through the east and get themselves to the NBA Finals, which team would it be?
Man, because I look at it, and there's four really good teams. There's Toronto, there's Milwaukee, there's Boston, there's Philly. And what I saw with the new pieces in Philly that very first game against the Lakers, I was really impressed with Philly. And I was riding Milwaukee's coattails right before that because I liked that Mirotić trade.
Yeah.
And it added explosion to help Greek Freak out and moving forward. But that Philadelphia team intrigues me right now.
Yeah. Hey, so, Trace, before we wrap, we, you know, it's Valentine's Day, as you know. We do a thing here called BCS, Bench Cut Start. So here's the thing. I'm going to put you on the spot, bro, real simple. Dinner out, cook a meal, take out, bench cut start. What do you got?
Bench cut start, what?
So you got so basically you got to pick. What would you do? Would you bench dinner out? Would you start? Like, what's your preference? Cook a meal, take out, the three options, you bench, cut, start.
Valentine's Day night.
Valentine's Day night. So what's the deal? Like, what are you going to
do? Sorry, no.
Tracy, romantic evening, Valentine's night. Let's do this. Are you going to order in, take it out, cooking your loved one a meal? What are you doing?
Well, tonight it's a go-out night because I'm on road. My wife just happens to come in town to referee a basketball game today. So we're definitely out tonight.
There you go.
Dinner out. That's it, Tracy. We got it.
Hey, Trace, always a pleasure. Thanks for a couple of minutes this morning. We appreciate it. Happy Valentine's Day. Enjoy tonight, all right?
Happy Valentine's Day, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Take care,
you
bro.
Got it. There you go. The great Tracy Murray with an honest reaction. For every man out there on Valentine's Day. We had to dump it, but it was an honest reaction.
It was great. I love
Mike,
it.
Pete, great job across the way. Bogus with the updates. Taz, enjoy your Thursday, brother.
You too, Moose.
All right, we out. Adios. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.